Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Time for the traitors.
The Traitors Ireland on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Very. Faithful, traitor, or just looking for a great deal.
Oh my goodness, did you catch up with the last night? Spoiler alert here, lads. We've got to get into it though. The paranoia amongst the faithful and the traitors is at full throttle right now. And with good reason. Last night there was a funeral procession for someone, but none of the faithful following behind knew amongst them who was headed for RIP.ie. Then a tense wake atmosphere before a riveting round table with the OG traitor Paddy and newbie traitor Nick battling it out. Here was the big moment.
There's a lot I'd like to say, actually. On my way home to my wife, my four beautiful children, my nine grandchildren, I'm looking forward to seeing them all. I really am. You might know my family, but you've met one of them. My son Andrew, and I am a traitor.
If you thought it was mayhem in the castle, I'm sure everybody's sitting room was the same. Everybody going, ah! It was just fantastic. And of course, the man of the moment there you heard is Paddy, the greatest traitor ever who kept the nation entertained. His reign finally ended last night. Paddy Maloney is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Dermot. How are you?
I'm a little bit starstruck, I'll be honest with you.
Indeed.
You've been on our tellies and on our minds for the last while. Commiserations on your exit. Were you disappointed to wave goodbye?
Yeah, look, I was disappointed, of course. But you know what? I know it's not impossible. You can survive from start to finish as a traitor, but it's very, very hard. So I got a good run and I was happy with that, to be honest.
Yeah, know? Well, you did yourself proud. Talk to me about the Paddy fever that is gripping the nation at the moment. Caitlin described it last week to us as Paddy fever. What do you make of it?
Oh, I don't know. Obviously, this is all very new to me. I wouldn't be that kind of an outgoing kind of person like that. So it's all very new to me, but I'm enjoying it. People are very nice and very good. And they come up and they talk to me and the strangers call me Paddy. And I'm quite happy to just salute and say hello and have a chat. You know, I've no problem with that.
I love when people say I'm not an outgoing person, but I signed up for a TV show. Everybody can see me. Some part of you is a performer, Paddy.
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't a performance. Genuinely, it wasn't. It was me being me, and I was kind of. I tried to flow through it as best I could, as best in the background as I could. But you know, you even though you try to stay back, you're going to be brought forward. So, and that's how it happened.
Well, some moments were definitely stressed. I was caught by something you said at one point. You said, you know, as a prison officer, I thought I knew stress until I walked into this castle. I mean, describe what it feels like.
Yeah, well, as I say, working in the prison is a stressful job. There's no getting away from that. And for anybody that's worked there, they'll know that. But inside in the castle, when you are watching your back, you're watching every word you say, you're watching other people's reactions to what you say, and you don't know, did you make a boo-boo there, you know? And as you know, there was one or two boo-boos along the way. So then you're firing, you know, you're kind of fighting to survive, if you like. So, yeah, it was very, very stressful. It really was.
Do you think your former prison work actually helped you navigate the things you had to in the castle?
Without a doubt. I say that. Because, you know, in the prison, you react to situations. And I reacted to an awful lot of situations in there, you know, without even feeling that reaction. It just came naturally, to be honest. If something was, you know, I mean, Michelle said to me, it's you, Paddy. And I said, all day long, yeah. Because you kind of, you're in that kind of mode where you are heightened, you know, and you are watching what you say. And it just seemed to come natural, to be honest.
Do you think you were underestimated because you were, you know, the older man in there reminding people of their dads or their granddads if they were particularly young? You know, do you think that allowed you to hide a little bit?
Well, it was a plan, to be honest, in a way that I just went and kind of play the daddy and the granddad role, and it kind of helped, I think, because at times they kind of they eased away from me for a while, you know, and I think that kind of they kind of said to themselves, yeah, you know, he's probably harmless, you know, as to whether they underestimated me or not in that sense, I don't know, because I wasn't a threat to anybody, I suppose, in there, and that's the way I liked it.
Caitlin said you and Eamon were like two bulls in a field. Did you find it difficult navigating that relationship?
No, not at all. Myself and Eamon, you know, there was stuff in the conclave, but myself and Eamon, we've been speaking, you know, and we're well able to deal with that. We're grown men, and we know that's a game. We all went into to play a game, and we played that game as best we could to our own ability. So, absolutely not. We it might have come across like two bulls in a field, but to be honest, it was just... One of us had an opinion, the other had an opinion, which we're all entitled to, and I would always voice my opinion. So maybe that was it, you know.
Yeah.
But it was nothing other than that.
Yeah, that Irish phrase, getting thick with each other, definitely came to mind with that heated conversation. Obviously, the big reaction we heard there, obviously, a lot of it was because they were delighted that they had caught a traitor, but most of the reaction from the people around the table was because they realised that, oh my God, Andrew was your son all along in the house. I mean, how was that experience for you?
It was brilliant. You know, I mean, as you know, I didn't expect it, but it was absolutely brilliant to have him in there, you know, and especially, you know, it was almost like still being in touch with home in a lot of ways in that stressful environment.
Did you hear him call you daddy that time?
Oh, yeah. I nearly turned around. My neck is so stiff at the moment, I couldn't. So my neck isn't great, so I think I couldn't turn around. I just copped it in time.
Yeah.
Stopped myself,
It was so funny. Daddy had to call everyone daddy to cover up for
him. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so...
It was a close one.
Do you think, were you disappointed then, obviously, because you recruited him as a traitor, but he didn't last very long?
Very disappointed. And I mean, when I recruited him, obviously, a lot of people might say the decision was wrong, but I did it with the best of intentions. And then there was a curveball thrown of the death row. I thought when I brought him on, that we might be at the murder. And, you know, I mean, Nick was gone if that was the case. And I'd have fought the case then at the table, and he would have fought his case at the table the following night, saying, you know, I mean, like Nick came out of him and all of a sudden he's gone, so the traitors are playing with our heads and that kind of thing. That was the plan, but it didn't work, unfortunately. So,
and did you regret recruiting Nick, given what happened? No.
No, I didn't. Because, you know, I mean, there is an old saying, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And I thought if you know, Nick Dean would have to work as a traitor, you know, and he said it himself, it's a different game ball, you know, a ball game. So that would make him kind of focus as well. So
should you have murdered him, do you think?
Sorry?
Should you have murdered Nick?
Well, as I say, I would have had the death row not happened.
Yeah.
That would have been the plan.
Well, when speaking of murders, you heard set the challenge to hug somebody to death. and we heard this classic line from you on the show. Have a listen.
You need to hug him, Blair, before the clock chimes. Oh, f*** off. I'm not being f***ing smart, yeah, right? I'm not a
f***ing hugger. I'm not an effing hugger. But you know what? Your son, Andrew, was quoted this morning in the paper saying that you were being pure cute, that you go around hugging lots of people in real life. What's the story, buddy?
I am a hugger, Dermot, to be honest. the grandkids were all out to me, what are you saying, Grandad? You are a hugger. You know? No, it was absolutely, I will say this. No, But having said that, I wasn't really a hugger in the castle. So had I hugged somebody in the castle, I think they'd have smelled the rat straight away. So I was happy enough that Nick would take that.
It was a good, it was a clever power move. Stay on the line there. What part of Limerick are you in today? Is that where you are?
In Kilmallock, in County Limerick.
Kilmallock, good man. A boy to kid, as we like to say. But come here, let's talk to the Cork woman who had a great run until she got that pishog hug from Nick. Good morning, Christine Duff.
Good morning.
How are you feeling? Were you shocked when you found out it was Paddy staying up late at night to do all those killings?
Oh, God. Well, I've risen there with a fresh perspective and I still think Paddy for president.
I think he'd win, you know. I think he would.
Our Podfather.
I love it. Well, have a listen to the moment, actually, where you got that fateful hug from Nick.
I left that other wine there. I was
so like a brother. I'm actually, we were only just saying there, your wife is so lucky. Like, you're such
a gent.
Yeah, she's so lucky.
I'll let you guys have that conversation.
You're so like a brother. You're a gent. And little did you know that that hug meant you were going to be leaving the castle.
Oh, and you know what the funny thing is? I'm not a hugger then in a massive way. Like, my kids will tell you that. They were like, Mom, you're not a big hugger. And I was like, I know, but what you don't see there is, if you listen like 2 or 3 seconds before that, as I'm walking towards Nick, I just go, oh, my gazelle, because we had this ongoing joke that he was like a gazelle and I was like a meerkat, because I'm only 5'2" and he's like 6'4" or whatever it is. So we always looked quite funny standing next to each other walking into the round table. So it wasn't uncommon for me to put my hand around him and him to put his hand around me and for us to be side by side. So the side hug, if you call it, it wasn't an uncommon thing. So after 9-10 days together, me doing that gesture or him doing it back to me absolutely was just so easy, and I can see why he would have chosen me and why he would have done it. It was not at all suspicious. It was something that we were familiar with doing with each other, so it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just happened, because as you say, you had hugged quite a lot up at that point, so it was just a very kind of natural move, and I think he made it easy for him, in fairness.
Yeah.
And look, you know, he's a good looking fella. I would say a lot of women around the country, possibly a lot of men too, you know, might mind an old hug from Nick, so I don't think he could be blamed. But look, there was one part of the show which was actually nerve-wracking, and it was the funeral, where you had to walk along in this procession and then get into a coffin. What was that experience like?
Oh my God, well, to be honest now, it was a great turnout. I mean, the crowd that they had was exceptional. The wailing, the crying, Paddy giving it welly with the handshakes going, thanks for coming, thanks for coming. He genuinely got into it. And I said this when I was chatting to your producer yesterday, that for me personally, I actually felt absolutely fine. That coffin had so much more room than the MRI machines that we have in our hospitals. So for me, it was comfortable.
Yes, because you talk about your experience with MS over the years, and how did you find dealing with MS and being in that pressure cooker of an environment like the castle?
So it's kind of funny. So listening to everyone so far that's done their interviews, and they're saying, you know, about the nerves and the stress and the feeling. For me, it actually felt quite relaxing. And I know now people are going to be thinking, what is she on about? But I have been through so much actual real life experiences that have been pressurizing, hence the MS, situations that have caused a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. So what I've learned with that and with the diagnosis is we have no control over the uncontrollable things in life. And when you can kind of accept that, it actually gives you a sense of control within yourself, saying, you know, I don't know what's going to happen today. You know, every day is a new day. You just accept it as it comes. So with the MS, I know it is, because it is a neurological driven thing that affects your nervous system, it could be seen as quite a distressing thing to have in such an environment. But for me personally, it was absolutely fine. There was no situation in there. And, you know, the behind the scenes people are always there on hand, no matter what, no matter what time of the day. And Paddy will chime in with that. Like, we had great support and great help. So
yeah. Well, Paddy, actually,
I was okay.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And Paddy, how did your own wife manage, you know, watching you every night in this thing? And what was it like to finally get home?
Oh, well, it was brilliant to get home. And her experience watching it, she said to me, I am on edge every night, even though, you know, she knew what was going on. She knew what was happening. But she was on edge every night, you know, so... but she said she really enjoyed it.
Well, look, we really enjoyed it too. It was a pleasure to watch both of you. Would you do it again, do you think? Would you go through something like that again?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely as well.
Well, look,
friends for life.
You did Limerick and Cork proud. Fair play to you, and well done. Sorry to see you go, but we really enjoyed watching you. And Paddy Maloney, Christine Duff, thank you both for chatting to us this morning.
Thank you very much, Dermot. Thank you.
Traders Ireland continues tonight and each Sunday, Monday and Tuesday on RTE1 and RTE Player in September.